Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? It's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to Reality Spirituality. Yes, it's me, yours truly, Rebecca L. Norrington, Happiness Specialist. Woo-wee! Wow! Wow! Wow, 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 wow. It's been a while. I don't know how many weeks. You know, I don't keep track of time. I don't keep track of the past. And I definitely have no idea of the future. But I just want to say it's good to be back on air. I'm live right now coming to you from the Oregon coast. That's right. You heard me. Oregon coast. And I just have to share what I can see outside of the studio window. I'm looking into just a whole wall of trees, a whole wall of different, unique, I don't even know what kind of trees these are, but pine trees, oak trees. I know they're not redwoods. I definitely know that. But, oh, my gosh. And the air smells so sweet. How the heck did a California-born girl, raised, born, and bred, 6 decades later, six decades later, landed in Oregon. I don't know about you, but a year ago, 2 years ago, I had no idea, well, maybe a year ago I was feeling. I mean, when I say a feeling, I'm really talking about that inner compass, that inner guide. And speaking about inner compass, next week we're going to have on Barbara Berger, who is an international author, and her latest book is Finding Your Inner Compass. Nope, it's called An Instant Guide in an Age of Information Overload, Find and Follow Your Inner Compass. And I read all of her book, and I have to say that the inner compass, I use inner intuition, inspiration. It's the same thing, just different words. And that's one thing I want to share with you, my audience, my dear, dear audience. If you're listening, thank you. I know, where have I been? If I'm not inspired to do a show, I'm not going to do a show. But in between moving from one state to another, it's a lot. But that's going to be next week, and it's going to be, I believe I said 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. But I'll put up announcements next week. Barbara Berger, all the way from, where is she living now? I know where she's living, but it's slipping me for a minute. That's next week. To speak with me live, you can call in directly at 646-564-9619, 646-564-9619. Yes, I will take questions today, and also next week when Barbara Berger is going to be on. Also in the future, on December the 1st, I know it's not a Sunday, but we're going to have a psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony. He's going to be on live with me. It's going to be December the 1st. So that's something to look forward to. I certainly do. Let's talk about this life, because you know me. I dig right in. What's going on? Right in. If you've ever moved from one area to another, from one state to another, it's more than just a notion. It's a lot of even down to the utility bills, even down to finding a new physician, a new dentist, a new masseuse, a different chiropractor. How about a car, because I had sold my car, finding a local supermarket. I mean, it's just so much involved, and it could be overwhelming. It could be viewed, it could be labeled as overwhelming. It could be labeled as stress, but for years I've been talking and preaching and over and over and over again about trusting, letting go and trusting, and letting go and surrendering. And I have to say, the question that I posed today for the topic about why do you worry, there's only one reason. There's only one reason why you worry. There's only one reason why you're concerned or a little stressed out over tomorrow. Or maybe you're worried about another person, which is even, sorry if I'm laughing at you, but it's even funnier. Worrying is evidence of lack of trust. That's all it is. When you worry, that means you just don't trust. Now, how can you trust them? Worrying is natural. Oh, it's normal to worry. Yeah, everybody worries. You're not human if you don't worry. I've heard it all. I've heard all of, listen, can you tell I'm a little, I got a little chip on my shoulder? Because this is a new day. Going through this process of moving and not even, you know, settling in. I don't even know what that means, that settling in. Because it still doesn't feel settled. It still feels like, there's a lot of stuff that open, what do they call that? Open-ended. There's a lot of things that there's no closure in my life right now. I mean, a lot of things that are not, there's no closure. And the real truth is, this is good news, people. I don't know why you don't want to say, figure out that this is good news. The good news is you have the ability, anything that's bothering you, you know, I used to, what irritates you, what bothers you, what annoys you, what makes you angry, what offends you, what hurts your feelings, all of those things, all of those answers to those questions, you have the ability to eliminate all of them. You really do. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be annoyed. You don't have to be sad unless you enjoy it, unless you like that feeling, unless you are comfortable with that feeling, which is, listen, that's okay too. But I remember asking the universe years ago when a lot of people were asking, you know, vision boards and house by the, listen, I'm not hating on the vision boards, but again, if the universe has a different plan than your vision board, if the universe has a different outcome than what you envision, guess who's going to win? Guess what's going to happen? Your vision board is going to be replaced, but this is what I visualize, and it's happening right now. When I was 18 years old, I remember taking a trip with my boyfriend at the time up the coast. And I remember it was the first time that I visited, forgive me, some of the listeners that have heard this story before, visited up the coast, Carmel, Monterey, Big Sur, all those areas, beautiful areas. I mean, when I was younger, we went to Yosemite every year, and from that, going to Yosemite, I fell in love with the forest. I fell in love with the smell of the forest. I fell in love with trees. Can And I remember at 18, I said, you know what? When I retire, I remember saying that. When I retire, I want to live in a forest. I want to hear water. I want to hear the sound of water from where I'm living, from outside my window. I want to breathe clean air. And that's exactly where I am right now. Surrounded by trees. There's a creek outside in the backyard. And this air smells so sweet. If it wasn't for the mosquitoes biting me every minute, I got to figure that one out. I'd be outside. I'd live outside. Mosquitoes or whatever the heck is biting me. I got bumps every single day. Whatever. Obviously, that what I said or felt instead or really felt strongly about, it was the same plan as the universe. I am not going to take any credit for what I'm doing and where I'm doing it. Now, when I say that, I mean, I'm talking about bigger. Anyway, let me just give you an example. I love examples. Before I arrived, I visited this town, and there were a couple people that I met. One was an owner I've actually met a few owners of a very small town, maybe a handful of gyms. Forget the big chains. They don't exist here. And if you know, I've been teaching fitness classes since I was in my early 20s. And if you also know, let me digress. There's three types of people in the exercise world. There's people that are so disciplined that they exercise all the time because they love it. It's part of who they are. It's part of, if they didn't exercise all the time, they wouldn't feel good. That's not me. There's also a different type of person that exercises and stretches and lifts weight and you know, make sure their body is active because they know it's good for them. They're that disciplined. That's not me either. And then there's the third type. The third type of person who doesn't like to exercise is not going to do it. Well, let me tell you something. I'm raising my left hand up. That's me. I really don't enjoy exercising, structured, I really don't, but I do like teaching, I do like making other people suffer, I do like torturing other people, and that's why I did it, and I had a job, and because for 37 years I had a job to teach exercise classes, that's how I got my exercise in. It's brilliant. Thank you, universe. So when I moved into a different town, I was interested in teaching at different gyms. And I was offered a position. I was offered a position, and I was actually offered to come in and substitute for a person that was going on vacation. With the intention of getting my own classes. Well, what do you know how to teach? I teach A, B, C, D in teaching those classes at this really nice gym in this very small town where everybody knows you. I went in, this was 3 weeks ago, taught two classes, following week taught another two classes, and just this week, just last Monday, I was called on the phone and told that my services are no longer welcome. Bottom line is I was fired. Now, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, trust me, that would not have been a good outcome. First of all, fired. Oh, by the way, the students at the gym. I mean, I made connections because of the students that I met, because of the people that I met at that gym. I now have 3 more connections to what I'm doing now, farmers market, selling food. I mean, all of the connections I just received in 5, just being there 5 times, teaching 5 classes, 5 classes. I made connections that will last, who knows how long they're going to last, but really powerful, strong connections. So my first response to being fired, and I wasn't even fired by the person that hired me. I was fired by someone else. My first response was, of course, little uproar, little whiskers, little panties in a bunch, a little bit of what? What do you mean? I mean, it was I was in shock. It's like you're everybody loves you. You're doing a great job. You're promoting the classes, and then all of a sudden, bye. Now the hardest thing during, and I don't even know why I'm explaining all this, but there's a lesson to this. The hardest thing for my ego, ego to sit with, was the fact that I was just going to disappear off the face of the planet. I mean, these connections that I made, even 5 days, 5 classes, big connections. Even that, I wanted to have some closure on it, and I just want you to know that I didn't leave, and all of those things that kept going through my head, I had to let them go. And the only reason I can let go of anything is because of what I practice on a daily basis. And number one, if something is happening, that means it's supposed to happen. If something is not happening, it's the same. It means it's not supposed to be happening. My suffering comes from pushing and wanting something to happen that, quite frankly, the universe hasn't signed off on. Or the universe signed off on it for 5 days and then, we're changing our mind or we're going in another direction, Rebecca. Well, don't I get a warning? Don't I get a... No. The universe, if you know life, if you know this life, you know you never get a warning. Well, I'm not going to say you never get a warning, but there's a lot of curveballs. And there's a lot of blind sides. I watch Survivor, big Survivor fan, and there's always, they're always talking about the blind side. There's always a blind side to the back of the head. I mean, if you've lived this life, you know about blind sides. You know about quote-unquote emergencies. You know when something happens and you have to all of a sudden deal with it or respond to it. And the response will always be what you've practiced. How you respond to life is what you practiced in your daily life. Now, my hand is up. I was upset, bothered, annoyed, what the hell, that kind of feeling. But it was my ego that was responding like that. It wasn't me. It wasn't my higher self that knows without a doubt that whatever is going on is a divine plan. In sitting with the ego, in witnessing the ego, watching the ego perform, because one of the things the ego needs, we've talked about it, is fuel. And how do you fuel the ego? By feeling, by behaving, by letting it be the driver. Now, I have to say that the first day was very, let me use a label now, because I talked about labels, all labels subtract from happiness. if I needed to use the label, was, what the heck happened? What? And then it turns to, and you couldn't even tell me yourself, you know, the one that hired the owner couldn't even tell me yourself. You had to get somebody else to. Well, that tells me a lot about you. You know, all of those thoughts. But in reality, that's still the ego. Because the ego's job, my ego's job, is to make me feel bad for as long as possible, as many times during the day. And once I recognize and know that, I can ride out that storm, that unfeeling, that imbalance, that feeling. Ride it out. Because every moment, even those moments that, if I had to vote, but apparently all of the things, all of the events that unfold are there for a reason. I'm standing here looking at all of these trees. Each one is different. Each one is different. So I'm not going to sit up here and compare this tree to the other. But every moment, there is a reason for change and for growth and for movement. And being able to be flexible and accepting enough to allow change, difference, movement. You think I would have ordered this on the menu? No. But let me tell you something. When I first moved to Oregon, I remember saying to myself, you know what, I'm going to take off time. I've been teaching for 37 years. I'm going to take off time. I'm going to start teaching again in January. I'm going to, you know, give myself a rest. Well, that means I'm not going to do anything because I already know. Anyway, I know myself. As you know yourself. And I did make that statement. And obviously, the universe, hey, we don't know what you're going to do, but you're not going to be there. You're not going to be at that gym. You're going to have nothing to do. I don't know if I shared that I retired in July of this year. Absolutely nothing scheduled, nothing to do. Nothing. I have never not had anything to do. I can't even remember. And let me tell you how when I first moved over here, how that felt. Having absolutely nothing to do is heaven. One of the things that I listen to is, now what are you feeling inspired to do? Are you inspired to go into town? Are you inspired to take a drive? Are you inspired to cook? Are you inspired to take a walk? I remember the other day I was at absolutely nothing to do. And I thought I was going to drive into town and A, B, C, D. Got dressed, washed my face. One of the things, too, also this weather. With the hair, you gotta keep a hat on this hair, else it'll frizz up. Put on my anti-frizz hat on. All of that, and guess what? After 10 minutes, I don't feel like going out anymore. Nah. Now. years ago, I would have looked and judged, you sure are lazy. You sure aren't productive. You didn't do anything productive. You know, it's always what I was taught what I should be doing, what I could be doing. And it's feeling bad about not doing anything or feeling bad about, what a waste. Feeling bad about the time. What did you spend your time doing? I get, you know, the program question is on Mondays, well, how was your weekend? You do anything fun on the weekend? That's always the question about, did you do anything fun? And the interesting thing is, I can make being at home doing nothing fun. And I mean that. I mean that. I got my hand up in the air. I'm testifying. The amount of uncertainty that I have day by day by day would have blown a hole in the top of my head prior to this. Living with uncertainty, living without a plan, living without a deadline, huh? Letting go of the programming, eliminating the programming, knowing what is a program thought, what is a program response. Knowing the difference is the difference between having a peaceful, easy energy and not. The worrying comes from lack of trust, non-trust. Is that a word, non-trust? Two words. And I have to say, my dear audience, that there are a lot of people that I've come in contact with that definitely know all the terms. They know what they know, the terminology, they know the concepts, they know the theory, but there's a big difference between walking it, living it, and talking about it. I want to read to you the text that I sent. Let me find it. Should have had it queued up. It should work. It wasn't queued up. Let me find it. So I wrote this text to, here it is. Okay. Without names. I wrote this text to the owner of the gym that fired me after 5 classes. I said, a couple of things, you know, just a couple of small things. And I said, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate you giving me a glimpse into your world for a minute. I was feeling the energy before I received the phone call. And I have to say, I knew there was something about being there that wasn't a fit. It's all universal. It's not personal. Respectfully and sincerely. Let me tell you something. I am not patting myself on the back for that, people. But what I am telling you is I know who I used to be. And there would have been a war. I would have pulled out all the weapons. But what I've discovered is the only war, the only unrest, the only imbalance is within. this being upset and being angry and being annoyed and being worried, all is within. It's never about what's out there. It's really not. What you practice is what you're going to live. How you live and how you respond is going to become your way, your habit, and your program. And you know what's interesting to me is that the response from people, I'm going to hit you with this one, the response from people becomes the same response globally. That's it. Well, not all globally, but that indicates that it's a programming that's going on, which is the title of my second book coming out. My inspiration is this year. Programming. How often are you living in the future? How often are you thinking about tomorrow? How often are you remembering yesterday? Everything that, when I say those things, is I'm just reminding you that this present moment is so rich with yesterday I went to the market. Yesterday I went to the farmer's market. It's a weekly thing here. And when I was walking, there's only a few vendors. I mean, it's so small and so quaint and so beautiful and so perfect. And I was walking to this very small farmer's market. I don't know, 10, 15, 20 people, vendors, maybe less. I don't know. I'm not really a big person on numbers. But there was a tree, here we go, filled with yellow leaves. I've never seen, it was all these yellow teardrop leaves. I don't even know the name of this tree. I stopped and just looked at this tree, had a conversation with this tree, took pictures with this tree. I don't know how long I stood there. But I could actually get emotional about a tree. The beauty of the tree and the moment. All of the things, it's not even where I'm living. It's what I've been practicing. What you practice, what you do on a daily what you do daily is going to be how you proceed. If you're worried in your present moment, you're going to take it into your future moment. When I say practice, it's really about looking in the mirror and being honest with yourself and saying, you know what? It is me. My anxiety, annoyance, anger, sadness, it is me. It's not because of what's going on in the world. It's not because of my family. It's me. How can you bring peace? How can you help? How can you bring peace to others when you're not peaceful yourself? How can you bring peace to others when you worry? How can you contribute to this planet? I don't know anybody, you want the world a better place? Yeah. Well, then you be a better person. You grow. I was at the market, farmer's market yesterday, walking and making a conversation with this woman whose husband, oh my gosh, all these crafts with wood and homemade guitar picks and wooden spindles and wooden tops and things to play with and wooden cups and bowls. I mean, it's handcrafted. I wanted to buy the whole store out. Beautiful. And I was having a conversation with her, and I told her, I've only been here a month and a half. Well, have you found a church yet? No, I don't need a church. I don't need a church that's structured with man. the relationship is one-on-one with the universe, me and the universe, every single moment. I'm having a conversation. I don't know why I think I'm on fire today. Having a conversation with the universe, one-on-one. It's you and the universe. You don't need anybody to tell you how to find that voice that we all have. What's my direction, universe? What's the plan? What would you like me to do right now, universe? Breathe. And if you don't hear a response right away, be patient. Whatever you ask, whatever your questions, whatever. Now, I'm not talking, when's my new car coming? When's my new house coming? When's my new vacation? I'm not talking about those kind of questions. How can I be at peace in a world that seems like it's full of rage? Let me end with this, you know, because I can just start yakking forever. You know me, people that's listened to the show. But let me share something about the Dodgers, the World Series. And I'm not a big baseball fan, but I do watch the playoffs and I do watch the World Series. And it was really interesting, especially coming from California, especially coming from Los Angeles, and everybody that I knew. There are a lot of people, I mean, we're all rooting for the Dodgers, right? The Dodgers have to win the World Series, right? And I had a conversation with my soulmate. And he's so wrong. He always roots for the team that isn't the home team. He says because he gets a kick out of all the people that are at home and now their team lost. I mean, it's a real dark way of being funny and yet it's a dark way, and I have to say I'm adopting some of it. Because if you look at that whole stadium, filled with everybody, most, you know, 90% of the people rooting for the Dodgers to win, they were at home. Seventh game, you can't get any more dramatic than that. The seventh game of the final series of the World Series, it was either one was going to win and lose. And the Dodgers lost an entire stadium. Well, the air was sucked out of it long before the last out, but quiet, silence, sadness, disappointment. No one's celebrating. No one's. There's a shift in the energy, in the vibration of that whole, all the Dodgers fans, I know because, crap, shit, I used to root for teams too. I used to be all into and attached to a team that, and they didn't lose. I mean, it would ruin my day, ruin my week, the next day. But let me tell you the value of losing, especially the value of losing and what that contributed to this planet. All you Dodger fans, all you fans that were rooting for the Dodgers and now the Dodgers lost, guess what? When you're in that state, and I'm talking about, I know, because I listen, when you're in that state, now you're open. When you're in that state, all you feel is peace, peace, peace. Because the opposite of winning, you got people rioting, you got people turning over cars, you got people causing commotion, you got the police have to be called. My soulmate is a police officer. The police have to be called. That's what happens when you win. Bedlam, riots, unrest. people losing their minds. Not every place, but I'm telling you, that's what would have happened. I've seen it. When you win, again, not every state, not every city. So the perspective is looking at that loss. Now there's a moment for teaching. Or you drop right back into that loop of being programmed. And you're still attached. And it's still about winning and losing. And it's still about, oh, I'm going to feel good because my team won. And I'm going to feel bad because my team lost. Now, some of you out there, well, that's normal. I'm here to tell you, no, it's not. I'm here to tell you, you were taught to feel good when you win and to feel like crap when you lose. In this next book that's coming out, Program for Inner Happiness, trust me, people, I'm putting a warning on the book. I'm not telling you to buy it unless you want to be angry, unless you want to really be upset, because I'm going to tell you and prove to you how you can't be offended, how nothing can hurt your feelings, how what you're contributing to this planet is based on how you react. And it's not about who's president, and it's not about who's running the world, and it's not about the Greenpeace. It's not about any cause. It's about you and your relationship with the universe, with God, with the spirit, whatever you want to call it or not. You are perceiving the world through what you believe. And your beliefs, quite frankly, let me back up, because I don't know what your beliefs, let me back up to mine. My beliefs were flawed. My beliefs were far from the truth. My beliefs weren't even true. Let me just say this. Divorce can be looked at in two different ways. I remember when I signed the papers, I mean, I was crushed. I was crying. Oh, my God. Stigma. But also divorce can be looked at as, wow, freedom from a situation that I don't need to be in. And the same thing with the world. If you are looking at this world with the same beliefs, the same perspectives that you've had for years, you know what I'm talking about, you party people, you know, political party people, and it's all across the board. Why the heck did I get on a political speech? Jeez Louise. The beliefs that are so deeply ingrained. My two words to you, my dear audience, is stay open. Stay open, because when you're open, you're able to grow. When you're open, you're able to evolve. I had a call from one of my dear friends, and her twin sister died a month ago. And I listened to her talk about how the twin sister, you know, I mean, I can't even imagine being in your 50s and your twin sister, now you've had this person all your life. It's like losing a limb. I'm not in her shoes, but I can hear her discomfort and her. We were supposed to grow old, all of this. But the suffering is because of that belief of the future, of what she believed about the future. And I understand all of it. But again, to those people that are out there that have had a death, and my hand is up too. When death happens, what are you focused on? What do you practice? Do you practice focusing on the loss? Or do you focus and celebrate the moments? And everybody isn't there. I know it. And the only reason why I can celebrate in the day that I buried my father, the day that we buried my father, was one of the happiest days of my life. And I've said it 100 times on this show. I've told the story before. But the only reason why I can say that the day that I buried my father was the happiest day of my life is because of what I practiced. And also, I had somebody watching me. I had somebody watching me. My only son was watching me on that day. Because, see, I'm going to go. I'm going to die. I don't know if I'm going to die before him. But, you know, that's, I don't know if that's the universe's plan. But I wanted to give him a different way to respond. We all can choose how we look at every moment in this world. And you can look and say there's a big problem. Or you can look and find the beauty in every moment. Now, I have to say that I turn the channels and I see so much anger and hate and disagreement. Oh, geez, the internet and people lashing out. And all of that is just more proof and more evidence of the individual, not the group, of individuals. So you're either contributing peace to the world or you're contributing something else. Oh, Lord, what a lot. Well, let's go back to worrying. The only reason why you worry is because you don't trust. I don't know how I got all that on that topic. But anyway, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard whenever I'm inspired, usually on Sunday mornings. Website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington, Facebook, Reality Spirituality. And I'm asking the universe for, I don't ask them for guidance. I already know they're guiding me, but a plan. I stopped making plans. Practice. More of the above. Remember, you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. Be peaceful. Be kind. Be your own best friend. Be good to you. The criticisms about self, the programming, the beliefs, be open. Stay open. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. It is about the moments. Reality, spirituality. Thank you for listening. It's Rebecca Lynn Norrington signing out.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's the newest spirituality.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Liberty, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Liberty, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Liberty, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real good.
Now, that's what